The title of the sermon today is Prophecy, Proof That God Inspired the Bible. In the Sabbath Church of God, we quote extensively from the book called The Bible. People who are listening to this study on the internet maybe believe that God inspired the Bible, but did you ever prove that God inspired the Bible? Maybe you were just internet surfing and came across this study. Maybe you're an agnostic, not sure there's a God. Maybe you believe there's a God, but you do not see how he communicates with people. The Bible claims to be inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's prove that God inspired the Bible. I'm an engineer, and I use equations in my work, as I might want to prove how much it would take to break a metal shaft, or how much air is going to go through a pipe, how much water might go through a pipe, things like that. I have equations that I use to determine these things. And in college, I had to learn not only those equations, or you look them up in a book, I have to learn where they came from. I have to prove that they're accurate. In college, there was one particular professor who he'd be writing with one hand on the blackboard and erasing with the other hand, and you go back to the other end of the blackboard and start over again. And somehow we kept up with all that, understood what he was doing, what he was proving, and realized that once we had seen the proof for those equations, we could use them with confidence. Similar with the Bible, if we can prove that God inspired the Bible, then we can use the Bible with confidence. Well, how do you prove that God inspired the Bible? One way is by personal experience. The Bible teaches a way of life. A person can prove that the way of life is correct by looking at the result of obeying or disobeying God's laws that he puts forth in the Bible. This is perhaps the most convincing proof, but it takes a lot of time. What I'm going to focus on today is fulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy, this is where God predicts events in the Bible, and he makes them happen. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I shall do all my pleasure. Only God can do that. Here are several examples of prophecies that can be proven from history to have happened. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he demanded that the wise men of his kingdom tell him what the dream was and what it meant. Let's read Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 31. Daniel 2, 31. This is where Daniel is explaining the dream. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. He watched while a stone was cut out without hands and struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel was able to accurately describe the dream about this great image. We don't have to guess what the dream meant. We keep reading the Bible, we find the Bible interprets its own symbols. Verse 36. This is a dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over all of them. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Daniel talked about four great kingdoms. History shows that there were four great ancient kingdoms: Babylon, then Persia, then Greece, and then Rome. Let's read more in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. We read of Daniel's own vision of four beasts. Daniel 7 verse 2. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side, and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with his feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. This vision is interpreted in verse 16 of Daniel 7. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are 4 kings which rise out of the earth. This is telling us again about the 4 kingdoms. History shows us the 4 ancient kingdoms, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. In verse 6, mentions here a beast with 4 heads. The third beast, it had 4 heads. Those represented the 4 generals who divided Greece after the death of Alexander the Great. The Bible even includes this detail. Let's go on to Daniel chapter 8, because there's another prophecy in Daniel 8. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there beside the river was a ram which had 2 horns. This is Daniel's vision. And the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had 2 horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his 2 horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was none that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it 4 notable ones came up toward the 4 winds of heaven. We don't have to wonder what the ram and the goat represent. Verse 20 tells us, verse 20 through 22, the ram which you saw having the 2 horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia. And the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is its first king. As for the broken horn and the 4 that stood up in its place, 4 kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. Verse 20 and 21 and 22 are interpreting the ram as the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat as the kingdom of Greece. History shows that its first king was Alexander. 4 kings that arise out of Greece in verse 22 were divided among the 4 generals of Alexander after his death. The prophecy about Egypt. The historian Herodotus wrote that Pharaoh Hophra boasted that no god could deprive him of his kingdom. Let's read in Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 30. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy who sought his life. Soon after Hophra had made his boast about no god being able to deprive him of his kingdom, he was dethroned by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Egypt is further described in Ezekiel 29, starting in verse 1. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. This is a prophecy against Egypt, okay, verse 15. It shall be the lowliest of kingdoms, and shall never again exalt itself among the nations, for I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. No longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israel, but will remind them of their iniquity when they turn to follow them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Egypt really has become among the lowliest of kingdoms. It's a poor nation. Prophecy continues in Ezekiel 30. Thus says the Lord God, I'll also make a multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He and his people with him, the most terrible of all the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land. They shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. I'll make the rivers dry and sell the land into the hand of the wicked. I'll make the land waste and all that is in it. By the hand of aliens, I, the Lord, have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols and cause the images to cease from Noph. There shall no longer be princes from the land of Egypt. I will put fear in the land of Egypt. Notice it says, there shall no longer be princes from the land of Egypt. And that's exactly what happened. Pharaoh at that time was the last true Egyptian pharaoh. Egypt was then ruled by Persians, then Greeks, a descendant of one of Alexander the Great's generals, one of his four generals, began a line of foreign pharaohs that ruled until 152 BC. These were not native Egyptian pharaohs. Egypt was then ruled by Romans, Muslims, Turks, French, who built the Suez Canal, and British. It finally became a republic in 1953. Most of the people who live in Egypt are Arabs, not necessarily descendants of the people who lived there during Ezekiel's prophecy. We can read about the defeat of Babylon in Isaiah chapter 13. It's a prophecy for the city of Babylon, Isaiah chapter 13. Verses 17 through 22. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver. And as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also their bows will dash the young men to pieces. And they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited. Nor will it be settled from generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. A wild beast of the desert will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats shall caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant places. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. This prophecy is written in the 700s BC. History proves that the city of Babylon was conquered by the Medes in 539 BC. These verses show that it would never be inhabited. The late Herbert Armstrong, the minister, visited the ruins of Babylon years ago. He asked the museum caretaker if he lived there, and the man said, no, nobody lives there. And in verse 20, where it says that the Arabians would not pitch tents there, Mr. Armstrong asked the museum caretaker if Arabians pitched tents there. The man said, never, there was a superstition against it. Read more about Babylon. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, and spilling into Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 44, 28. It says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, he shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. Someone reading this in 700s B.C. might think, well, wait a minute. Jerusalem still exists. The temple still exists. What's going on here? Well, he's already prophesying that Jerusalem would have to be rebuilt, and it would be destroyed and have to be rebuilt. And the temple would be destroyed and have to be rebuilt. But there's more. As we go into Isaiah 45, verse 1, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue the nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For a man to rebuild Jerusalem laid the foundation of the temple. He had to defeat the kingdom that possessed that region. That kingdom was Babylon. Isaiah named the man who would conquer Babylon, named Cyrus, 150 years before the man was born. In verse 1 of Isaiah 45, it talks about double doors. That refers to what they call the two-leaved gates of Babylon. In 539, Cyrus diverted the Euphrates River that flowed under the gates of the city. The water level decreased to the point where soldiers could wade into the city and open the gates for the rest of the army to enter. The events that we studied were predicted in advance in the Bible. This is proof that the prophets of the Old Testament portion of the Bible were inspired by God. We can also find some proof that God inspired other Old Testament books. The proof is not quite as certain as what I've presented so far, but the other books of the Old Testament were historically included by the Jews and Christians. Let's get into a couple more of these. And to do that, we have to go back to Daniel first. I've already proven that he's inspired. Let's see what else he has to say here. Daniel 9, starting in verse 10. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against him. Daniel, being inspired, wrote about why Judah was captive, because they'd sinned, and the punishment for breaking the law of Moses was upon them, God's law. Where do you find that? You find it in Exodus and Deuteronomy, contains the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. And Leviticus contains the curse for breaking the law of Moses. And Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, you keep hearing the words, the Lord said, the Lord said this, the Lord said that. It's quoting what God has said. It's recording what God said. It had to be somewhere where God gave his law. And there it is in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Therefore, we consider those books to be inspired as well. Here's more. It was written in 2 Chronicles, which we're about to read, and Jeremiah, that Israel is taken captive because they sinned against the law of God. It's consistent with Daniel, who was inspired by God. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. He had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. And Jeremiah chapter 25, starting in verse 6, read verses 6 and 7. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. And go on to verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord. I'll make it a perpetual desolation. So I bring on that land all my words that I've pronounced against it, all that's written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning the nations. As we see here, is consistent with what's in Daniel, who's inspired, and now we're seeing it here. So this is evidence that 2 Chronicles and Jeremiah are also inspired. Let's think about the New Testament now. There is evidence that the New Testament was inspired by God. Historically, the Church of God canonized, as they say, the New Testament. And sometime we can go into the details of that. But let's see some proof, because we find that our inspired prophet Daniel, besides leading us to some other books of the Old Testament, he leads us to the New Testament as being inspired as well. Daniel chapter 9, we have what's called the 70 weeks prophecy. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, no, 69 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of war. Desolations are determined. This is telling us from the time that there was a command to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah is to be 69 weeks. And if you use the principle in Numbers 14:34, day for a year, let's read that. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, you shall know my rejection. So we have that principle. We have 69 weeks times 7 days at 483 days, but that would be 483 years because it's day for a year. And then you add that to the year of the declaration that Jerusalem is to be restored, and it's going to take you to 27 AD. So let's go back first to Ezra, where the proclamation was made to restore Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 7, verse 8. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. And it goes on and gives the details of the letter, which was saying to rebuild Jerusalem. That was a decree in 457 B.C. And as I said, if we take 457 B.C. plus 483 years, we're up to 27 A.D., which is the year that Christ's ministry began. So it should not be surprising that some people in Christ's time were expecting the Messiah. The men who came from the east to visit Jesus Christ soon after he was born, they were expecting the Messiah at that time. They knew about this. And later, someone else asked Jesus Christ if he was the Messiah or if they should look for somebody else. Quite a few people understood this prophecy and the timing of it. This 70 weeks prophecy ties the Old Testament to the New Testament. New Testament is about Christ. Nobody else has claimed to be the Messiah in a book that was written at that time or about a person at that time and who is still considered to be the Messiah today. The New Testament quotes extensively from the Old Testament. With numerous writers of the New Testament, they're all consistent with each other, which you can see if you study it carefully. Let's review what we've heard on this. Summary of the proof of the Bible. Daniel, the prophet, on two occasions predicted that there'd be four great kingdoms before they ruled. That was inspired. He predicted them before it happened. Jeremiah and Ezekiel predicted the defeat of Egypt, never to be great again. That happened later on. That shows them to be inspired. Isaiah predicted the defeat of Babylon, even naming the victor, Cyrus. That's inspired. And then we have other proof that lead us to believe other books are inspired. The inspired prophet Daniel wrote that Judah was captive because they broke God's laws that are given in Exodus and Deuteronomy, where we keep reading, the Lord said. The Lord said this, the Lord said that. You know, these were the words of the Lord. These were the laws of the Lord, showing those two books, Exodus and Deuteronomy, are inspired. Judah was punished according to the curse that appears in Leviticus, leading us to feel that inspired. Then in 2 Chronicles, Judah was punished for transgressing the law of Moses, which is given in those other books. And then Jeremiah, Judah was to be desolate for 70 years for transgressing the law of Moses, given in the inspired books. The 70 weeks prophecy in Daniel, who was inspired, takes us to the time of Christ. The New Testament books were written about Christ. We consider that to be inspired as well. We have confidence that those books were inspired by God. The rest of the books of the Bible have been considered part of the Bible since the 2nd century AD. Once we're convinced that the Bible is the Word of God, we should read it to learn about the beautiful thoughts of God, the beautiful mind of God, the purpose of our lives, and what God expects of us.